Welcome back to His Time. It's almost 8:06 Central Daylight Time here in St. Louis, Missouri, USA on Worldwide KFUO. Thank you for listening, tuning in to us as we begin our day with the Word of God in prayer. Pastor Rod Zwanitzer sitting in for Andy Bates, who's got a few days off. We're taking that time where we get into God's Word from the Daily Lectionary, according to the Treasury of Daily Prayer, a great resource for your devotional life. If you don't have it, check it out, cph.org, the Daily Treasury of Daily Prayer. Today, we're finishing up the book of Galatians. We're going to do Galatians chapter 6, and we encourage you to join us, open your Bibles, and check out Galatians 6. If you've got a question or comment on this text or anything else, call us, 314-821-0850. That's in the St. Louis listening area, or for those outside who have unlimited long distance, like so many of us do, call us at 314-821-0850. Toll free in North America, 800-730-2727. Or you may email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Our pastor today, who also gives the sermonette in our morning prayers segment that comes on a little after 9 o'clock, is Reverend Randolph Schnock, pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Do you go by Randy or Randolph?
Usually by Randy.
Okay, Randy. Welcome to His Time. And start off, give us a little bit what the Lord is doing there at Trinity Lutheran in Mena, Arkansas.
Well, we're a relatively small congregation, but we've been going through the one of the programs of really trying to reach out to our community, and so we've been trying to let them know that we're here. One of the things we've done just recently is we have a festival that takes place, and we have set up a diaper-changing station. So people can come, and it's a better place because of the park we're at does not have good, nice restrooms.
Wow.
So
I heard something that fits in well with that the other day. I'd never heard it before. The only people who like change are babies.
Now, that's probably true.
Yeah, so you've got that in spades there in your festival.
Right, and then we also, at the same time, people that are just walking by that don't have babies, We give fish food for anybody that wants them to feed the fish at the park.
Nice, nice. So are you ready to finish up Galatians with us today?
Absolutely.
Okay, we've got a lot to do, and we've only got here about 32 minutes because we go into Creation Club about 20 minutes till the hour of 9, so we better dive into it. Let's do a chunk, the first five verses of Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. So Pastor, what do you get out of this first chunk, these first five verses?
Well, it's kind of interesting. That very first verse has a controversy in it, and that is how best to translate it. Luther and Lenski, for example, and the version that you read translated as overtaken in some fault. You could also read it as being caught in some sin. And then the question is, why would you pick one over the other? And Luther picked the overtaken in some fault reading because that way the sin that you committed would be one where you didn't plan on committing it. You were, you know, all of a sudden caught by surprise by this sin that creeps up on you unawares. But what's interesting is if you take it the other way, then this idea of restoring them in gentleness becomes even more interesting, because then you'd be restoring someone who you caught in a sin in gentleness. So one can take it different ways. Also, the other thing is the way you translate the word sin there. The Greek word is definitely the word for sin, and yet it's translated as trespass or fault often, because again they're trying to make the sin less because you're being gentle about restoring them. But that was kind of an interesting thing that I found, because depending on how you take it, you know, it makes grace greater or less. So, you know, one might like that the idea of, you know, if you catch someone in a sin, restore them gently. But I thought that was interesting looking at when I went through the Greek.
Sure.
Then the other thing, that was really interesting in Luther. Luther very much saw this whole passage as dealing primarily with pastors. And especially when you take, you know, you who are spiritual. That was very interesting. When you look at the word that's translated, restore them, that actually has a medical meaning, like in when you set a bone or you mend a bone or you mend something. So it's a kind of a durative. It keeps going. It's not a one-time just fix it, but rather a continuing fixing and being there for them.
Mm. You know, a shameless plug for a show I host on Friday afternoons, and it's coming up this afternoon from 2 to 3 Central Time, Book Talk. I'm going to be interviewing the author of the new CPH commentary on Galatians, Dr. Andrew Doss. And, he for sure sees the Greek here as a transgression, a sin. And he makes an interesting point. He thinks that with the flow, the context here of Galatians, especially the tail end of chapter 5, where Paul is talking about, you know, don't go back under the spirit of slavery, the yoke of slavery, but be free in Christ, so walk by the Spirit. He really thinks it's talking about our need to remind all of us that we're not just individuals, and so staying away from Christian community, assembling together as Christ people around word and sacrament, that needs to be addressed. And so this, individual accountability and corporate community responsibility is what he sees here, and I kind of like that. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good. And even with that, what you just said, I'd be interested to know whether he tended more toward the caught in some sin or overtaken in some fault. Sort of an idea of it, but yes, and the idea of really being gentle with one another and trying to help one another, bearing, supporting, carrying one another. That's all in that same idea. The only thing that you can add is it's not just about worship itself, but it goes beyond worship. It's when I'm acting the way I should, it actually makes it easier for the other people to act the way they should. When I'm sinning, it makes it easier for other people to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it includes worship, because worship, of course, if you don't go to worship, really, that's sin too. That, you know, a lot of people don't see that, but, you know, whenever we don't put the Lord first in all things, that's sin.
Yeah, I'm just reading here, Randy, and he's talking about that this conditional sense here is kind of ambiguous, and he says the passive form of this verb is used nowhere else in the New Testament, so it doesn't give us a lot of clues. But
right.
But he says that in his mind, it's not about referring to an individual being caught off guard by a false step or blunder. He said, in that case, Paul would be avoiding the notion of deliberate sin. He would be writing of people being overtaken by transgression. And then he goes on. Then he goes on to say, others think that the verb refers to an individual being discovered or caught in some act of transgression. He's talking here. He really goes on to think that it's although it's ambiguous. He said that Paul is probably does not have in mind the notion of being caught in the act of transgression. He thinks it's about the one who assists and the one who has fallen is not that they are both caught in the act of sin, but they are both in danger of or have been overtaken by transgression. Wow. Now, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, although I really can't see where it's talking, the person that's helping him is not yet caught in the transgression. He has to consider himself lest he be.
Yeah. Well, that's what he's talking about, that the primary thing here is the danger of being overtaken by transgression.
Right. In either case. Both
yeah.
That is overtaken and the other, because when you are overtaken in transgression, it makes it easier for the other person
yeah.
to fall.
Yeah, and then that fits really well with the flow here of verses 4 and 5, does it not? That if you start boasting about, look at you, you poor miserable sinner, and I'm a lot better than you, it takes you back to that two people praying on the rooftop that Jesus brings up. And the one has that attitude, thank you, Lord, for not making me like this poor guy, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this humbleness and this being all of us, lowered in our thinking of ourselves or dying to ourselves by our transgression. And so that would fit well with this restoration you're talking about, even medically, in a spirit of gentleness and watching ourselves lest we too be tempted. Interesting. Are you ready to move on then to the next section,
well,
or would you like to?
One other thing I wanted to kind of mention, because it tends to, the wording has a tendency, unless we're careful, to go against, of course, our doctrine that we are saved by grace alone, apart from works. And when you look at verses 4 and 5, one could read that the wrong way, especially when it talks about boasting. What's interesting, I noticed, was that in many of the translations, even though the word is clearly boasting, they list it as rejoicing, which I thought was interesting. But and I think that was because they didn't want to have the thought of a person boasting,
mm-hmm.
because of course Scripture talks regularly that we shouldn't be priding ourselves, having pride in ourselves. If a man would boast, let him boast in the Lord, as in Psalm 34 and 1 Corinthians. But the real question then is, what does this mean, and can we boast in the good works that we do by God's grace? And I think it's clear from here and a few other places that, in fact, we can, as long as we're boasting in the Lord and in what He enables us to do.
Yeah, that's... it hits me as an important part of that you're emphasizing. And that fits, I think, rather well, does it not, with the beginning there of verse 4? Let each one test his own work. Let that be the focus of your judgment and testing, which kind of goes along with some other scripture. So that's very good.
Yeah, and because really, who are we supposed to compare ourselves with, if anyone? It's never with our neighbor.
Right.
If we're going to compare ourselves with anyone, it's with Christ. And only with Christ.
And that kind of attitude really, I think, does help and bless when we have to try to restore somebody else in sin. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been even in situations that lead to or can lead to excommunication, you don't want to take the high snobby road, you want to express your sinfulness as well, and go back to the whole desire is restoration, that we all are reconciled in Jesus Christ and in His crucified and resurrected body and blood for us. So that puts us all into the same mindset, doesn't it, if we allow God's law and gospel to have their way with us?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, ready to move on to the next little section?
Now I think we're ready to move on, but I thought we had to say something about the works.
I think that was very good as a Christian faithful to the law and gospel to do that, so I thank you for that. Okay, verse 6. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, I'm interested here, Pastor, as maybe you are, that at the beginning of this section in verse 6, the word taught is where we get catechesis. So you could even translate it, one who is catechized. In the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. And is that really addressing the main role of us under-shepherds?
Exactly. That's the idea, that the one who is taught, the under-shepherd, then, the under-shepherd is going to be doing the catechesis. And so certainly Luther thought that way. Again, one in our churches, oftentimes it's not the pastor that does all the catechesis, but it's under him. He's still responsible for it, but he may delegate that to someone else. But certainly, you know, that when Luther took this whole section, you know, when it talks like that, to be talking about the pastor. But I don't think it would necessarily be limited to the pastor.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you go along with this community assembling together of disciples of Christ, there is one or more in a given setting who are given the responsibility to speak for God and especially to preach and teach that word faithfully. This beginning is really, I think, of great focus in the life of the Christians, is that, you know, we talk about being one, our fellowship in altar and pulpit. And so if we're taught, catechized good things from God's word, blessed are the ones who give those that great gifts. You know, I know when I came here to the radio station as director, Randy, you know, now I sit in the pew most of the time. And I just thank God so much for my faithful pastor. We've got a great one, and I know there's so many out there that are. And how blessed that is! It's just a sheep in the fold, the flock there, to have an under shepherd who is so faithful to deliver what Christ would want us, His word and sacrament. And then he goes on, you know, to this deceit and mocking and sowing and reaping. How does that all fit together in your mind?
Well, you know, when you look at all of this whole thing, again, we get back to this idea of when you sow to the flesh, again, you're back to that question about, the proper distinction between law and gospel here. And the fact is, when we sin, there's always consequences. There's temporal consequences, and there is always, if we continue in sin long enough, we could lose our faith. But those consequences, you know, the temporal consequences are there whether we lose our faith or not. We're going to cause discord in our families, discord in the church, discord in the community. We will hurt the witness of Christ at the very least. And then, of course, there's always the possibility that if we continue to sow, that corruption will reach the point where we lose our faith. And again, when we sow to the Spirit, here you're going to do the opposite. You're going to give glory to God by everything, by the things that you're doing.
How does this sharing of all good things, and what is that? What is that, and how does that fit in here with the flow?
It's interesting because the sharing all good things, the all good things thing part would make you tend to think that this is talking about material things, but the fact that they use koinonia, that they're translating as share, which of course is the word for fellowship, does, you know, it seems to make that ambiguous what it's really talking about, whether it's talking about sharing in that or really sharing in the fellowship, being in fellowship with one another. And what is fellowship all about? And that gets you back up to the idea of bearing one another, supporting one another.
Yeah, and if you look at the start of this letter, there's a disconnect here in koinonia. You know, as he said, that these other teachers come in when I'm not there and have distorted the gospel and sought to divide you and me and our koinonia. Maybe this is a nice bookend to that first outlay of the issue with the churches in Galatia.
It sounds like it very well might be hearkening back to that, yes.
Yeah, and then this idea of sowing and reaping, which kind of occupies the rest of the verses 7 through 10. And then he closes with, let us do good to everyone, but especially to those of the household of faith. Unload that for us a little, if you would.
That's interesting because in the church, more and more, you know, they're talking about, especially because we're living in a culture that's different than it used to be, how we have to be, you know, more into the community and being seen as doing good in the community. And yet, sometimes that can happen where you become so wrapped up in that, you forget to be good to each other. And again, we help each other. If we're going to bear one another's burdens, we have to be thinking about one another and loving one another. And I think sometimes we can lose sight of that. And that's why I think that especially to those in the household of faith. Because how am I going to learn to be good to other people if I can't even be good in the household of faith? When you look at Luther on the family, you get this same sort of idea that if I can't deal with my family, then how am I going to deal with the community?
Very well said. And, you know, I get this idea that... that if foreigners come in, and non-believers especially, and among us household of believers, and they see us not loving each other, as Jesus talks about, I give you a new commandment there in John 15, what will they think if we don't even love each other? And especially, you know, tied back to all of us are in transgression, we're in sin, so how do we treat each other? And some good advice there that if we reap kindness and gentleness and care, concern for each other, what a magnificent thing to behold and to be a part of.
Exactly.
Let's go for a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll finish up with the final seven verses with Pastor Randy Schnock of Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. Stay tuned. Listen to these brief messages. We'll be right back here on His Time.
Serving seniors wherever they call home. That's Lutheran Senior Services Home Health. For those who need to regain independence after an injury, illness, or decline in health or ability, Lutheran Senior Services Home Health can arrange for a variety of skilled services that will help older adults recover where they feel most comfortable, at home. Doctor's referral required, Medicare certified. Lutheran Senior Services Home Health. Learn more at lssliving.org.
During this week on Law and Gospel, we discussed a hymn, the best chapter in the Bible to summarize the Lutheran distinctions between law and gospel, and the unique teachings found in the Lutheran faith. On the next broadcast, we have an open mic line Friday to call in with your questions and comments on any theological subject.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Thanks for sticking with us here on His Time, because we're unloading some good catechesis, teachings of God's Word, ending up our study of Galatians 6 with Pastor Randy Schnock from Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. If you want to call the question or comment, do so real quick, 314-821-0850 or 800-730-2727. Pastor, let's just zip into the last one, and then you can talk about any of the chapter that fits your fancy. Beginning at verse 11, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh, who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. What jumps out at you that you'd like to share with us this morning, Pastor?
Well, a couple of things. First, he is making it clear to them that this is that he's personally involved. Normally they use an amanuensis, but he's a secretary to do the writing. But he wants them to know that he's personally involved in this. In terms of, so he writes the ending of the letter himself, which is kind of interesting, showing his love. When you get to the next thing, I've had a similar experience to what he's talking about. I was a chaplain for a while at a state prison. And what you would see is you would have these people coming in all the time and trying to get people to make decisions for Christ. And, of course, what was interesting was the same people each time made a brand new decision for Christ. And it was almost like, the people that were coming in were boasting in who they could, how many people they could get to make a decision.
Mm. Could it be, too, on the other side of that? As you were saying that, it hit me that sometimes we hear boasting by those individuals who make the decision, like that, what's wrong with you? I made a decision for Christ. You should, too. And I make one every week that this this chaplain or this Christian comes in.
Right. Except for, of course, from their point of view that are coming in, you really only make a decision for Christ once unless you'd fallen away. But really, the true Christian is every single day, he goes back to his baptism, and he renounces his old flesh, and he recognizes that he is a new creation.
Which is stuff that he wrote in other places, not only here in Galatians, but this new creation. Is it 2 Corinthians 4 or 5 somewhere in there?
Let's see what they have for that.
We have a caller here, Randy, listener, Mike from St. Louis.
Hello, Mike.
Welcome in, Mike.
Hi. Listen, I heard the reason why he wrote in a large handwriting was because his eyes never recovered from when he was struck blind on the road to Damascus, and that symbolizes worldly repentance, the fact that his eyes never fully recovered. What's your thinking on that?
Thanks,
sounds
Mike.
Like a good idea, but there's no, we can't say for sure.
Yeah, maybe he was just old, and after all the physical stuff he'd been through, his hand was unsteady. We just don't know, do we? But it sounds good. I mean, it fits, doesn't it, kind of?
Exactly.
Yeah. How about this idea of persecuted for the cross of Christ? He kind of takes that and runs with even circumcision and uncircumcision, doesn't he?
Well, see, here I'm thinking they're talking, because this is talking about the people trying to make a good showing in the flesh. These are talking about the proselytizers that are trying to get people to be circumcised.
Right.
And so, this persecution, they want to still be under the umbrella of being Jews. Jews were accepted by the Romans, where the Christians were not.
So escape the persecution is what you're saying.
Right. So they're trying to keep from being persecuted.
How does that fit with when he talks about the end of 17, that I bear on my body the marks of Jesus?
Because he has suffered persecution, and he doesn't try to get away from it. That's one of the things that I loved in Acts, when you had the prayer after they'd gotten released, and they all got together, and they had the prayer. And I know that in my own heart, sometimes I'd feel like praying, Lord, let these persecutions end.
That's right.
But that's not what they prayed for.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that amazing? I read a book by Billy Graham on suffering, and one of the things I really appreciated that he said was don't be surprised that if you're persecuted for your Christian confession and faith. But rather, you should be startled and really surprised and think about it if you're not being persecuted for your faith. Because then Graham would say, I wonder if you're letting the light of Jesus shine in your light at all, if you're scared that you might be suffer something for being a Christian.
Right. And then also, you know, because we're now in a different culture than most of us grew up in, at least if you're my age, it's even more so. I mean, you see the persecution gaining ground every single day, and so far it's just over little things. But, you know, for example, you know, if you speak your views on marriage or on other issues, you know, you're going to have the whole society coming down on you unless you happen to live in the Bible Belt.
yeah. Or our good friends up in Canada, you might even suffer jail or a financial penalty for speaking those forbidden things or hate crimes up there. So, wow. Pastor, the final verse here in Galatians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's an interesting phrase, is it not? Not be with you, but with your spirit. What's going on there?
You know, we all have, you know, be with your spirit. We are body, soul, you know, we have a body, a soul, we have a spirit. And sometimes, you know, the spirit, our soul, we don't feed the soul. And so again, you know, the grace of God be with your spirit, because this whole dichotomy of spirit and flesh you have, And so I think it's pointing to the new Adam.
Which really goes well then with that previous verse about being a new creation, doesn't it? That fits
right.
Really well with the context here.
And in fact, you know, this whole idea, you know, you can't talk about this section without talking about baptism, because that's what it's all about. And you know, that's the gospel is so clear. In fact, that's what makes this last section, when we try to deal with works, which is what this whole last section is doing, how does a Christian, you know, do his works? How do you put the law and the gospel together and understand it rightly? And baptism, the new creation, is how we do that.
And this grace is certainly all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? So without the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, as this whole letter is about, there is no grace, there is no salvation, there is no walking in the Holy Spirit at all.
Exactly.
Wow. That is very well done. And so I thank you for being our guest today, and hopefully you can be back. And blessings to you and all the saints there at MENA, Arkansas Trinity Lutheran Church. Greet them for all of us, and we hope to have you back soon. Thank you, Pastor Rand Upschnock.
Thank you.
Blessings on your day. When we come back from
listeners.
Thank you. And when we come back from a quick break, Creation Club with Pastor Warren Worth. Stick with us here on His Time.